This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Chirag Kutin. With me at Joyce Gore. The S&P 500 posted a negative quarter and the US dollar dropped to quarterly lows in March. Will this downtrend continue into the new quarter? To help us answer this question is Stephen Innes, Head of Trading in Asia Pacific with the Wanda in Singapore. Joyce, you speak to him.
Good morning, Stephen. The S&P 500 just posted its first negative quarter since 2015. How do you think equity markets will perform moving forward?
Well, you know, obviously spring has sprung and, hope springs eternal. But, there's a few hiccups here happening in the S&P 500 landscape, but particularly around the tech sector. We've got this global debate that continues to simmer regarding trade, but the regulation of the technology sector amidst the Facebook scandal certainly has steadily eroded investor sentiment. You know, even while we've sort of overcome some of the biggest fears in the markets concerning trade wars and possibly higher U.S. interest rates, investors are not really shifted back into this bargain hunting mode that was so evident at the start of the year. So in my view right now, they seem less concerned about the fear of missing out that was a big trade during the early part of 2018, and they seem more concerned about the fear of getting out. So I'm not looking for anything definitive right now. I think investors are struggling with this new normal and higher market volatility. So I'm expecting the markets to be quite whippy over the next short term.
Well, the US dollar index dropped to quarterly lows in March, and recent data show that the US dollar share of currency reserves reported to the IMF declined to a four-year low in the final quarter of 2017. So do you expect the weakness in the US dollar to continue?
Yeah, we're at a curious crossroads in the currency markets right now. And, you know, looking at last week, we had a surprising US dollar demand that most of us are attributing to quarter end. But it was quite significant, and I think that's going to be it's going to encourage quite the debate and quite the discussion as we start the early stages of this week. The IMF report, well, it doesn't really surprise me too much. Nobody really wants to buy dollars these days. And I think what's happened here is there's been a reserve managers have really taken note of the strengthening yen and have started to add more yen in their reserves. And it's not really surprising that traders are not the only ones that view the longer-term negative view for the greenback. No one seems especially eager to buy dollars these days, including central banks. So that was the case. However, getting back to the U.S. dollar again, I'm looking at this currency, and it remains surprisingly unshakable despite all this bad noise surrounding the Mueller investigation, the dovish start to the Jay Powell tenure. So I'm almost thinking now that we're going to have to pay very closer attention to data, U.S. data that's coming out this week, and perhaps this quarter could lead to a significant upturn in the U.S. economy. Mind you, the U.S. economy is doing really well right now, but I think what the market's really concerned about is this perhaps filtering through to the economy of an inflationary impact. So I'm going to be really gauging economic data this week, in particular the non-farm payroll on Friday, and especially the average hourly earnings component, which could perhaps show an uptick in the underlying wage inflation. And this may shift a lot of views on the currency market. So I think even on the currency markets, like the equity markets, we're at an inflection point and the jury remains out.
Well, Stephen, since we're talking about the currency market, as we enter into a new quarter, which currencies are you betting on? The ringgit, perhaps?
Yes, I feel quite bullish in the ringgit for a number of views. I think it remains quite underbought in the market, so this underpositioned, and that gives good opportunities. I think the domestic landscape, demand from Malaysia alone is quite solid. Their external position, given their current account surplus, is quite strong, and I think that portends to a really good place to park money, especially with the higher interest rates. I think also some of the rhetoric, dying down our rhetoric around the Korean Peninsula is also helping regional sentiment. We know back last February that Malaysia had cut trade ties with North Korea in the wake of that brazen assassination that occurred at Kuala Lumpur International Airport. And we're sort of thinking that now that there seems to be a smoothing of the overall tensions, that perhaps Malaysia may offer an olive branch to North Korea in this regard. And this would just provide Malaysia with another regional trading partner. And, this is also viewed quite positive. But also we're looking at China. You know, China's inclusion in these global bond indexes is quite hefty. And I think this also portends well on a knock-on effect to the regional currency. So I think, yes, the ringgit is definitely one. I think the yuan is another one that's on my radar. And on the G10 space, although dollar-yen has been reacting very much so on a risk-sensitive play, I still think the yen is going to appreciate towards we go into year-end. Basically, I'm anticipating a shift in the Bank of Japan policy. And likewise, the euro, I'm expecting the ECB to come up with a policy shift somewhere around the June horizon. So I think euro is also a long euro position is also a good way to trade the currency markets over the next 6 months to 1 year.
Well, Stephen, earlier talking about China, its March factory gauge rebounded as export demand recovered. So how do you expect this latest data to impact markets and currencies?
I see it on two fronts. Obviously, I see it play favorably, given the backdrop of you know, all the positives that are coming in and all the reforms that are in place with regards to China. But I think I think the numbers are quite surprising because a lot of people had anticipated an economic downturn because of China's regulatory move to deleverage and overregulate specific industries from a pollution perspective. So what this tells me, this is probably going to filter through to a positive GDP. And I think this will provide regulators with even more wiggle room on the regulatory and on the deleveraging front. And I think this is a long-term positive. While we were expecting a short-term negative for a short-term pain for long-term gain on the deregulatory front, it looks like the Chinese economy is just continuing to churn away. And I think overall that is a positive thing, not only for mainland economy, but for the other basket, the other regional basket of currencies. Because, you know, primarily China continues to guide the regional ship these days.
What about the looming U.S.-China trade war? How do you expect that to impact markets and currencies?
You know, whether we've seen the full extent of bombastic Trump, I'm not quite sure. But what we've really noticed is that he tends to back off some of his verbosity as the event horizon nears. And I think we're seeing a similar trend towards China. You know, the initial wave of tariffs was quite genial, and as well as the response from China. Although they did add a few more tariffs over the weekend, it's been quite minimal. So, I mean, I don't know if this is going to blow out of context. Right now, the market's waiting for the next wave of U.S. Tariffs, if it is coming. But my view is, you know, the effect of the overall trade war impact is going to be quite negligible, okay? I think what's going to happen here is the U.S. dollar is going to be an ingredient of trade negotiations. In other words, regional currencies and regional central banks will refrain from artificially manipulating the currency to put it on a weaker tangent. So what this tells me, regional currencies could be prone to more strength as we go forward, given the fact that I think the writing is on the wall here that the U.S. administration would probably prefer a weaker U.S. dollar in the backdrop of these trade negotiations.
Stephen, let's move to oil prices that seem to be nearing $70 a barrel on geopolitical uncertainty. So do you expect the prices to hold, and will we see the U.S. $100 a barrel days again?
Well, there's a couple of interesting things that are going on in the oil markets. I mean, obviously, it's this great debate between OPEC supply curbs and shale production in the U.S. However, one thing that we tend to be ignoring here is the propensity for the U.S. export market to accelerate. Only years ago, they were pretty much exporting maybe two tankers of distillate a day, and now they're sending 7.7 million of barrels, exporting barrels a day. So my view is that even although the inventories, even although supply in the U.S. continues to ratchet up, there's a global demand out there. There's a propensity for consumption. So this, from a demand perspective, I think it remains quite solid. On the geopolitical front, and this is boiling back into this equation itself, on the geopolitical front, the market is extremely sensitive to any supply disruptions, and I think this is all part and parcel to dwindling U.S. inventories. based on that theory of propensity to export more oil out of the U.S. So, yes, in my view, I think oil prices have a good chance of accelerating. However, the big elephant in the room remains shale oil producers. Will a move to WTI of $70 or a move to Brent crude to $80 cause more supply to come online? That's yet to be seen, but certainly oil markets look quite bullish right now, and I would expect them to, at minimum, test 2018 highs again.
Thank you, Stephen. That was Stephen Innes, Head of Trading in Asia Pacific from Oanda in Singapore.
We'll be back with more news and analysis. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.